become a Christian, you need to do the will of God, right? And they're going to be frustrated and give up and quit unless they also know the resources they have.
Yeah. You know,
number one resource is
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, you got him, you got everything, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got him, you got everything. Go ahead.
I mentioned earlier how when the Lord first told me to do the radio broadcast, I was looking at me and what I could do.
Limited.
But I found out that I was unlimited. You can, whatever needs to happen, it'll happen. You know, he got you. A guy gave me $300 for the radio. I said, well, you know what, I'm gonna go on the air on Saturday mornings, on Saturday, until this money runs out. He said, okay. And then when I was walking back to work, he came down to my job and he gave me that money. And I was going back to my job. And the Lord said, if you go on there on Saturdays, I'll keep you on there. And I'm like, well, okay. and he did. So I'm paying double, almost double to, you know, I was struggling to do the Sunday broadcast then. And he kept me on there. The Lord, he's got the resources. And then it's just like you said, it took a while for my mind to register that, you know, he can do this, you know. Mind will catch up later, but your heart is ready right now. And when we do these things, God, he's got what you need. But it starts with you acting on His word, doing it in His strength.
That's right. That's right. Everybody believes that God has the resources. Everybody believes that. Nobody has a question that God's God. Right. He's got all the resources in the world. But everybody stumbles over the fact that, well, God give me.
Yeah.
Well, God give me the resources. I need to do His will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And that's what Jesus had to say over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah.
Real quick, those guys will pitch up.
Understand. This is in John 15. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, He will give it to you.
Yeah, she found another place where He said it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, He said it 7 different times in these 3 chapters. Mm-hmm. 7 different times. Well, I'll get on that. I must admit, okay, I did not get it at first. I was more clueless than you guys were, okay? I mean, it was bad, but I finally did get it, okay? And so, praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for your Holy Spirit and your promise that you'll always be with us through your Holy Spirit. We know that through Him we have access to the Father, and the Father will give us whatever we need to do His will. And we thank you for that, Father. And Father, bless our food, bless our fellowship together, and may truth be spoken from every pulpit. Amen.
All right.
Good morning. So, y'all, I want to do this poem that, like, I really, I hope you guys blesses you. I want to start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for just being so good, Lord. Thank you for everything you have done for us thus far, things you have just did just now, and what you're continuing to do in our lives. We love you. We ask you bless this breakfast club today. Everybody who speaks and has something for anybody to hear, just bless it. Just have your way in this place. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. Have your way. We love you. And just let the whole day, the service at church, and just today be a blessing to our lives. And this is most importantly, help us love you more. Thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this poem is like really a special one to me because I just wrote a couple of notes that I wanted to share with y'all this morning. And, like, I was going to share, like, one or two, but Holy Spirit said, tell them all. So, I feel like He is the best friend you can have, meaning Jesus. Then, He is always with you. Life of God is the best no matter what age you are. It's just the best. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. And one day, we will all get to be and live with Him forever. And the scripture I want to read was Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So just know that, like, with God, no matter what, like, it's always better. I can't explain it more. I wish I could tell people, like, how awesome He is and how wonderful He is. Like, I know myself personally. So I can speak from my own experience, but everybody, you know, they have, it's like, you have to try Him for yourself. But I know for me, God is, like, amazing. I'm so happy with Him. Like, not saying, like, you don't have your trials and stuff, but it's nothing compared to life with God. And this is something that came to me a couple weeks ago. I put, "Remember, better days are coming for all of God's people." This is a song, I don't know if you guys know it, by Leandra Johnson. It's called "Better Days." But the Holy Spirit told me that. So better days are coming, y'all. So yeah, now with that being said, the poem is called "Life with God." Okay. Okay. It says, "Life with God is different, and it's certainly the best. He holds your hand through hard times, and He's with you in every test. He never sleeps or slumbers, and He will meet all your needs. Also, He will never judge you by your appearance or the sum of your good deeds. But He will walk with you through each incredible day that life brings. Some days, His amazing love will make you want to sing. Because it is, and every second with Him as your Father is a gift. God, the Creator and Master of life, the only reason for this world's goodness."
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
We're back in the book of Colossians here, chapter 3. We're starting back where we kind of got started last week. And this is 3 and 12. It says, "You are always dearly loved by God, so robe yourselves with virtues of God. Since you've been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Give to one another in the same way you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. And if you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme." Remember that. Love is supreme. And must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. You know, that's a mouthful right there. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. And I'm going to read this out of, go back to Ephesians here in chapter 3. And we've seen this love we're to come into. It's, you know, we learn how to love. We see that in this. But Paul says here, and Ephesians says, "So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father and every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life." You know, kind of what Ray was going over this morning, you know, that got me thinking about that. You know, our resources. He was talking about our resources. Well, God's our resource, isn't He? The Bible says God is love.
Yes, He is.
And that's one thing He endeavors and wants His people to grow in, is love, you know.
Yeah.
And we see here, Paul says He's using His faith to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we learn. We use our faith, and you know, but this is God's
Remember when old Solomon prayed a prayer to the Lord, he said, Lord, you know, give me wisdom, and how pleasing that was to God
yeah.
for him to ask for that. Mm-hmm. And I think how pleasing it would be to God for people to ask him, Lord, grow me up in love.
Yeah.
You know, I know I ain't arrived there, and you know, when I was a student in school, I wasn't all that great a student. But over here in Colossians, the Bible says, put your heart and soul into it to get there.
And Lord.
Don't just pull around.
Say that again, David.
In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, put your heart and soul into everything you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. But, you know, that kind of makes you... Well, I need to quit making B's and F's and maybe start working on some B's and C's. And hopefully I'll get them A's one of these days, you know. But, you know, I just want to tell you about this old man I used to go to church with. He used to go to the people across the street. And it was a big church, a lot of members, you know, hundreds and hundreds of members. And a lot of them, you know, I remember faces, can't always put name with it. But this old man, he was such a wonderful, his wife had done passed on, and he was an usher, and he'd come around on Sunday mornings, and I remember them old thick eyebrows, they'd get them twinching and all, but he would just love to shake your hand.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And you could tell when he shook your hand. Just that love in the handshake.
Absolutely.
And out of all of just hundreds of people, you know, I forgot. I'll never forget that man, you know, because he did it with love.
Yeah.
And that was so admiring about that man. And, you know, that's where the Lord wants us to take us. You know, that's what makes a strong church, love. And, I'm out of time. So I'm going to pray, and then Miss Mary can come on up. Father, we thank you for your love for us.
Yes, Lord.
And that's the love we grow in, knowing how much you love us.
Yes.
Truly, 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 you do love us, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Just one thing also from Colossians 3:17. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father.
Whoa. Isn't that beautiful? My God.
Drench your words with love. Let it reach your face.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So people say,
without love, faith cannot be activated.
Whoa.
You cannot even say you believe in God without love. Or trust him. Actually, you can believe in him, but you can't trust him without love. And it's his love, not ours, that we're embodied with.
Yeah.
And then when that activates it, when you actually have his love and the faith is activated, that mountain will move every time.
Yep. Unlimited resources.
That's good. All of it is just so good. Praise God.
As he's told me once, don't let the God who created an unlimited, infinite heaven, don't put him in a box. Don't limit him, because Psalm says that it enraged God when the Israelites limited the God of heaven. It enraged him so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not limit him. It does not make him happy.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise
him. It's just so good to be here. I missed y'all, but it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Can I get a volunteer to release some prayer? Don't all y'all do it at once.
All right.
Come on, my brother, release some prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just bless you and praise you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome
yes.
love, Lord, and how, Lord, it consumes us.
Yeah,
Father, we need more of that love. And Father, through that love, Lord, with the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we know, Lord, that we will do all things according to your word.
Praise
we love you, Jesus, and we praise you. Father, as my sister speaks, I pray, Lord, for that same fire and that same zeal, Lord, to come forth out of her mouth with your word in Jesus' name. And give us more understanding.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is the teacher this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. That's good. Because he knows everything. He knows even the deep things. So he's the preacher. He's the teacher this morning. So Holy Ghost, we do recognize you as the teacher. We do acknowledge that. And we yield to that this morning. You know, in asking God, what do I really need to give y'all this morning? Mm-hmm. He said you need to teach some on the anointing.
Amen.
The anointing. You know, when we did the book club, we talked about David, how he put on an armor of God that was invisible, and how he went against Goliath and he fought, you know, and he got victory there. And we often talk about the bear and the lion and the stones he used and the sling shot. But I want to tell you one thing that y'all got to know that David had when he went up against Goliath. One thing most people, I don't hear people mention it, but this is very important that you know this, what happened. And then we're going to go into the New Testament. We're going to see how the anointing works in the New Testament. But I'm going to start off in 1 Samuel 16, because that's where we really need to start. 1 Samuel 16. Now, I'm going to take you to Jesse's house this morning.
All right.
Where all of his sons and things were there. Let's go to Jesse. We're going to travel to Jesse's house this morning. And we're going to see what did David had before he went up against Goliath. We must know this. We must know this, my brother, my sisters. We must know what he had. And it says the 11th verse. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Because every son that he had then, he tried to anoint. I'm going to do this real quickly going through here. Every son he tried to anoint, God said, mm-mm. He said, mm. And one, the Bible said, he looked the part. I mean, when you looked at him, you were like, pour that oil on him, you know. And that's what Samuel was about to do. God said, don't look on the outer Samuel. I hadn't chosen him. And then Samuel responded to Jesse, since Jesus have not allowed, because God has not allowed me to anoint any of these, he asked him, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all their children? Have you got any more children? Because I came to anoint somebody, one of your sons, and I haven't been able to anoint. You got to have one somewhere. And he said, oh, well, there remained yet the youngest. He put the emphasis on, he's the youngest. You wouldn't be interested in him. And behold, let me tell you what else he do. He just keeps sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, sit and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come in hither. You know, Samuel said, well, go get, you know, his daddy was like, he just keeps sheep, he's the youngest, you know, giving out all of this information so that they wouldn't have to go get him because he just didn't think he qualified. But Samuel said, no, you go get him. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and God and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. I know Samuel went, phew. I'm glad this is over, because I done been through all these, you know. And let me tell you, Samuel had a little problem about going down. He was obeying God, but he had a little problem about going down doing it, because if Saul had found out he was down there anointing for another king, Saul would have had his head out, Sister Deborah said, off.
And you know, Sister Mary.
Then Samuel took the
You know how you said his dad didn't think he was qualified. And that made me think how in the world, I just, even with your family, people may not think you're qualified by the world standards, but God, he's the one who really
qualified. What do God do? We look on the outer, but where does God look, Glenda? He look on the inside. Well, there you go, girl. You got it. Yes. He said he looks on the inside.
That's what qualifies.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And he did it in the midst of his brethren. Don't you know the brethren was mad? That little ruddy thing, he ain't got, I mean, they didn't know how he worshiped. That little ruddy thing worship he had done, like, that little ruddy thing gonna get anointed. I thought I was gonna be king, you know. Okay. And he anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Don't forget that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this, because in the next chapter, it says he go up